This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you, Joe. I'm Ian Ozan, WWL First News. Now back to Tommy Tucker on WWL AMFM.com.
Another big football weekend. Start your game day 2 o'clock here on Saturday as LSU takes on Florida in the real Death Valley. Mike D'Atelier, Herb Tyler get you going with the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show live from Acme Oyster House in Baton Rouge. Head on out there. Countdown to the big game at Acme. 16 surround sound TVs. And the best drink specials. It's a great place to hang out for LSU and college football, all thanks to the good folks at MAP Construction. Then at 4:30, catch LSU's official pregame show kickoff, 7:30, with the voice of the Tigers, Chris Blair, and color analyst Jacob Hester. And just like we tell you to do with Deuce and Mike Haas and Jeff Nowak, turn down the sound. Nothing against Kirk and Chris, but you're going to get a lot more inside Tiger stuff with Chris Blair and Jacob Hester. Sync it up, Tigers Gators Saturday on WWL, streaming live on the free Odyssey app. When we come back, we'll talk to Dr. B about the importance of a primary care provider. Tommy Tucker, glad you're with us. Back in a flash, WWL. 8:13, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Got Chris Coleman running master control today. A little intro music for you there, Dr. B. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I like the bumper music.
Yeah, we're going to have to do that from now on. Chris Coleman on top of it. Anyway, Dr. B joins us now. Dr. Brent Wallace, Chief Medical Officer at People's Health. He gives us some good medical advice every other Thursday. If you haven't visited your primary care provider this year, don't forget to schedule an appointment. Dr. B is going to talk about that today, about discussing primary care and five tips for making the most of your next visit. And I guess, Doc, before we start, we got to talk about what is a primary care provider.
Yeah, sure. So I love this topic because I am a primary care provider.
Well, there you go.
So a primary care provider, sometimes we're called PCPs, is really just a doctor who practices general health care. You know, we see a whole myriad of things, really focused on preventative care, you know, giving you recommendations on vaccines and cancer screenings and other health screenings. We can make a lot of healthy living recommendations to you, things like diet and exercise in particular. But then we also treat a lot of acute illnesses, things like sinus infections, the flu, you know, maybe minor injuries. And then really bread and butter is we help manage those long-term health conditions that people have, things like diabetes and heart disease, to try to get you on the right path to health.
Why is it important to have a primary care provider?
Well, it is very, very important, and the reason is through those visits that you have with your PCP, they really get to know you. They get to know about your health conditions and your medical history and your family history, and that really lets them monitor any changes that happen over time and maybe identify things that could be headed off. It's going to give you really more personalized care. than if you're getting care from someone that you're seeing for the first time every time, you know, you talk with them. And then your PCP is going to act kind of like the captain of the ship. They're going to help you navigate this extremely complex healthcare system that we have. They can recommend preventative care activities. They can refer you to specialists if you need, you know, specialty care. And then they can communicate with your other doctors to make sure that, you know, if you're seeing a whole bunch of doctors, that everything works together and there's nothing that conflicts there.
Like an air traffic controller almost coordinating everything, huh?
Exactly. And can be pretty stressful like that, too.
How often should you visit your PCP?
Yeah, so this is what a lot of people don't do, but you really, everyone needs to see a PCP at least once a year for a checkup. That's really important. And if you have a chronic medical condition, like I mentioned, diabetes, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, your PCP is probably going to recommend that you come in additional times. And that's, you know, really important just to make sure you're taking care of yourself.
Yeah, why is that? Just to make sure that you're following the necessary protocols and so forth?
Yeah, exactly. You know, when you have these long-lasting health conditions, you really do need a personalized plan of care. It's not the same for everybody. It's going to include all those medical services and probably some prescription drugs, a lot of education on healthy living recommendations. Those additional visits that you have with your PCP really helps us to create that plan of care and guide you through it. You can't do everything in just one visit a year. There's usually too much to go over. And so we're going to check how well your treatment plan is working for you, monitor for any new symptoms. We're probably going to order some lab testing and kind of confirm what's working and what's not, and then adjust your medications if we need to.
It seems like it really is important to have one person that's controlling all of, not controlling, but coordinating all of the other doctors to make sure that one doctor is not giving you something that hurts you, given what the other doctor is giving you and all of that. Right, Doc?
Yeah, exactly. That communication piece is often lost when you're seeing multiple providers. And so it's really important to have somebody that's going to synthesize all that information together.
So let's talk about making the most of a primary care appointment. You got some tips for us. What's tip number one?
Yeah, so this is really important. You want to prepare for your visit. When you've got an appointment scheduled and everything, you know, number one is make sure that that provider is in your insurance plan's network. You don't want to get a bill after you go to see the doctor. That's really important. And then if you need any special accommodations, or maybe you're bringing a parent and they need an accommodation like a wheelchair or maybe a translator, you want to make sure the clinic knows that before you get there so that everything's ready to go for your appointment.
And what about the day of your appointment?
Yeah, so when you show up, you want to make sure you bring that insurance card. They're always going to ask you for a photo ID so they can confirm who you are and everything. They're really going to want to see your list of medications, and it needs to have the dosages on there. And, you know, I tell people actually bring all of your medicines with you if you can in a little bag, and make sure you include any over-the-counter items that you're taking, so vitamins or supplements, because we need to look at those and make sure that they don't interact with anything that you're on or anything that we may prescribe to you. So really, if you can, bring them in their original bottles so we can read the label.
And honesty is important, right? You don't want to exclude anything just because you think the doctor's not going to like it.
Exactly. Yeah, we want to know the truth so that we can create the most accurate health plan
for you. And that brings to why you need to bring a medication list. Why is that so important?
Yeah, really knowing that full medication routine is going to make it easier for us to figure out if you're having side effects, why you may be having them. You know, do we need to adjust doses? Do we need to stop medications or maybe change some medications? Some medications may work less effectively if they're taken with another type of medication. So we really need to review all of that to head off any potential problems.
Some other things you can do to prepare in advance?
Yeah, you know, before your appointment, you really want to kind of prepare by thinking, what do I want to talk to my doctor about? You know, what has changed in my life, especially if it's been a few months or maybe a year? You know, what has changed since the last time I went to the doctor? Am I having new symptoms? You know, or are there any new goals that I want to do? Like maybe I want to lose a little bit of weight or I want to eat more healthy. And it's good sometimes to just write that information down, bring it to the appointment, and that way you don't forget to talk to your doctor about about something really important. And if you're seeing a brand new provider, it's also very important to bring notes about your own medical history and your family's history as well. That's going to be really key to understanding your overall health.
All right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back. You want a successful appointment with your primary care provider. And what's that old saying? Success happens when preparation meets opportunity. So you got the opportunity to see the primary care provider. It's up to you to prepare to make sure that you have a successful appointment. We'll pick it up with Dr. Brent Wallace, Chief Medical Officer of People's Health. And when we come back, 820 Traffic Now, WWL.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, we're talking to Dr. Brent Wallace, Chief Medical Officer of People's Health, about primary care physicians or providers and how important it is to see them at least once a year and to have one. We're talking about the five tips to get the most out of your visit. First is preparation. What's the second one, Doc?
Yeah, if you can, you really want to try to get to your appointment a little bit early. Most clinics recommend 10 to 15 minutes. And the reason for that is to really maximize your time with the primary care physician, to make sure that visit isn't rushed at all. You're going to have to probably fill out paperwork. That's inevitable. And so you want to kind of look to see if your clinic has the option to check in online or complete some of that paperwork in advance, because that'll give you more face-to-face time with your doctor to ask all those questions that you might have, and you don't spend all that time in the waiting room.
And we've briefly addressed number three already, but what is it?
Yeah, so honesty is really important. You're going to get the best care when your PCP knows, you know, everything that's going on with your health. And so don't lie. That's not going to help you in the long run. If you smoke cigarettes, let us know about that. We can probably help to find solutions for you to quit. You know, if you don't really exercise that much, let us know. Maybe we can give you some additional routines. So it's really, it's very important to be honest, like you were saying.
You don't want to lie to your lawyer. You don't want to lie to your doctor. Those are two people you want to be absolutely honest with. And, Doc, when it comes to the lying, you know, I remember going to ENT one time, and he said, well, you've been digging around in there? No. Really? Because I got a lot of wax jammed in your ear, and it was, they, you know, is what I'm saying, right?
We usually do know when you're lying, and so we may ask some leading questions.
All right, what's your fourth tip?
Yeah, the other thing is, don't be afraid to ask us questions. You know, some people kind of come in for an appointment, they listen, they don't say very much, and we're not entirely sure if everything is being absorbed. We cover a lot of information in these appointments, and they're usually relatively quick, and so you can get confused. We're not going to mind if you ask us to repeat things. You just have to make sure you ask us. We want you to understand.
And you got a final tip for us?
Yeah, the other thing is take notes. You know, like I said, there is a lot of information. There's a lot of, you know, new medications that may have complex instructions, those healthy living recommendations. You can jot all of those down and then actually ask us, because quite often we will print out all of that information for you when you leave the clinic so that you've got it available for you for your next appointment.
So when it comes to The part with the preparation, I want to get back to that real quick for just a minute, because so many times I'll leave a doctor's appointment. It's like, oh, man, I wanted to ask him that, or I wanted to ask her this. That's why it's important to make a list of questions, and you doctors don't mind if patients come in with a list of questions. If anything, I guess it makes it more efficient for everybody, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I love it when patients come in. You know, sometimes they'll have a really long list, mm-hmm. and so I will tell them, you know, okay, we're going to try to address as many of these as we can, but that may be a reason that you need another appointment mm-hmm. sooner than a year from now, because yeah. if you do have a lot of things going on. But no, I write down all those ideas, because when you get in the room, you know, and we're examining you and asking you a bunch of questions, you may forget what is on your mind, and then you don't address everything, and you really need to.
Valuable information. Thank you, doctor. I appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Tommy.
Pet those boxers for me, all right?
I know, absolutely.
Dr. Brent Wallace, Dr. B, Chief Medical Officer of People's Health. If you want to find out more about People's Health, you can visit the People's Health Medicare Center in Metairie, 3017 Vets. It's located between North Causeway and Trader Joe's. You can't miss it. Appointments are recommended, but walk-ins are welcome. They'll walk you through whatever's going on. You can visit the website at peopleshealth.com or call People's Health at 1-800-978-9765. peopleshealth.com or call 1-800-978-9765. When we come back, we'll talk with David Shanzer, a professor of public policy at Duke University and an expert on terrorism, on this 24th anniversary of 9/11, how the fight against terrorism has changed. We'll also talk about what's going on with Russia and also with Middle East with Qatar. Right now, time for WWL First News. For that, we'll go to Ian Ozan.
Thank you, Joe. I'm Ian Ozan, WWL First News. Now back to Tommy Tucker on WWL AMFM and .com.
It is 8:39, 21 before 9, and we all remember where we were on this date back in 24 years ago today, as a matter of fact, in 2001. I get the years confused. 2001, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Surprisingly, I heard on the news last night, almost a third of the country was not born for 9/11.
I believe that, because anytime I go speak to a college class or even a high school class and you ask them what their memories of that day was or what they've learned about it, a lot of them don't know. They have, of course, they wouldn't have a recollection or memory, but just what they know about it, what they've heard, is surprisingly minimal.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about it with David Shanzer when we come back. He is an expert on terrorism. We'll talk about how things have changed since then. It's interesting how we choose numbers to commemorate 24 this year. Not so much will be done, but next year, 25th, I guarantee it'll be a lot of attention paid to 9/11. We're going to remember it when we come back on WWL. 8:46, 14 till 9, Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined by Professor David Shanzer, a professor of public policy at Duke University, and I had it right in front of me here, David, we haven't spoken to you in a while, a professor of practice at the Duke Sanford School of Public Policy, director of the Triangle Center on Terrorism and Homeland Security. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Tommy.
Good to talk to you again. Tell me how, I guess, terrorism and the fight against terrorism has changed since 9/11.
You know, I think the big transformation and the thing that actually really worked compared to a lot of other things that I don't think have had much of an effect really was a transformation in both intelligence and the integration of our intelligence collection system with the law enforcement entities.
Connecting the dots, so to speak, David?
Well, absolutely. I mean, it's first of all, not just the dots, but the collection. I mean, I think we deployed a lot of assets at this problem that were not deployed at it initially. We've created much better communication between various agencies and ability to share information. We've created more analytic capacity. And then we've integrated, you know, law enforcement, U.S. attorneys, analysts inside the United States into the process, so they are in receipt of, you know, information that might be able to help them, as well as tools that the FBI has used domestically. I think if you put all those things together, those are the things that have worked to really, you know, of course there have been exceptions, but by and large, 24 years, and this problem has not come close to coming to bite us the way it did on 9/11.
My feeling is, and I have no, you've forgotten more than I'll ever know about this, David, but my feeling is there was a weakness. They found it. They exploited it. and that was a one-time shot. And I guess what I'm wondering is, are there other weaknesses out there that terrorist outfits are probing, or have we pretty well sealed up all of the portals?
Well, you're right. I mean, the terrorists only have to get lucky once to create tremendous damage, and the defenders, which is us, the defenders against terrorism, have to, you know, bat 1,000, and that's a tough job. Mm-hmm. So you're right. Part of the challenge is to plug as many of the glaring holes as possible. But those holes can never be totally, you know, with 100% certainty. And new holes emerge, you know, as you, let's say, create new technologies or you build new infrastructure and so on. I mean, the world doesn't stay the same. So you can never say, well, we're done and therefore we're safe.
How effective was the Patriot Act in accomplishing the safety of the nation?
You know, I think there were aspects of the Patriot Act that were, you know, contributed to the positive, I think generally positive result that we've seen. I think parts of it were, you know, demonized unnecessarily. You know, have there been some costs to civil liberties because of our, you know, use of increased intelligence and also the ubiquity of intelligence information because of modern communications? Yeah, sure. But I think the checks and balances mainly stayed in place, and that's not something that has kept me up at night. I think the derogation in civil liberties has come in a lot of other areas necessarily than that.
Has the advancement in technology since 2001 helped in the fight against terror, or made it easier for terrorists to conceal their activities?
I mean, that's a double-edged sword, I think, Tommy. You know, in some ways, this period since, you know, 20 years has been the golden age of intelligence just because there's so much information to possibly get, and any little nugget you get can actually help thwart a plan. But you're right to point out that, you know, things like, you know, solid encryption and all those types of things also make it easier for the terrorists to conceal. So what we have is a technological battle that is going on between, you know, those who want to do harm, and I include in that, you know, gangs and crypto terrorists and ransomware and all of those things that are part of the modern, you know, threat environment. And then, you know, those that are trying to protect us from that. I mean, you look at the story about China's, you know, mass infiltration of the U.S. data system over many, many years. It came out a couple of weeks ago, and you can understand that this is, you know, an ongoing and, frankly, never-ending battle.
Let me take a break here, David. I want to talk to you when we come back about, you know, I saw in the news yesterday just about a third of the country was not even born for 9/11. Tim Zimmer, who you spoke to, brought up a point that if you're in college, you probably don't remember 9/11 if you're of college age. But I'm going to talk about looking at it from the other side, the generational part of it in terms of breeding terrorists and terrorism. Is it a cyclical thing where maybe the generation of terrorists is gone and we have to look out for a new generation of terrorists or not? And we'll also talk about Israel and Qatar and the United States. 852 traffic, WWL. 856, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Quickly back to David Schanzer, professor of public policy at Duke University's Center on Terrorism. Professor, where does generations fit into this? And did we wipe out a generation of terrorists, as I think about the age of Americans and people in college not being alive during 9/11? And is that something in the future? And along those lines, I'll ask another giant question here. What would the next attack look like? Would it be biological in nature? Your thoughts on that?
Sure. You know, so the terrorism that we experienced in 9/11 and much of the next two decades after that was, you know, caused by a certain set of ideas. Terrorism and political violence are generated usually as a response to some sort of grievance and people trying to find some sort of answer, often in their identities, to respond to those grievances. And I think some of the steam of that ideological movement that formed Al-Qaeda, you know, has dissipated over time. That doesn't mean they're eliminated. It's very prevalent in lots of places in North Africa. But I think the enthusiasm for addressing those grievances through violence against the West, the appetite for that has dissipated. But, you know, all kinds of other political grievances and ideas are, you know, they're constantly forming and circulating and changing, you know, and I think we saw evidence of that, you know, yesterday, mm-hmm. in the horrific violence in Utah and other incidents from other directions that have occurred in our country. So, you know, terrorism, you never have solved terrorism because new ideas and grievances that are going to push people towards violence are always forming in society.
You study this for your life's work. Would you say the threat from terrorism has shifted to more of an internal thing than an external thing for the country?
Well, the data certainly shows that. We had your terrible incident in New Orleans. I think that's the last time I was on this program. Mm-hmm. That shows that, you know, some sort of affinity to, you know, violent Islamism, you know, is still out there. But I think it's much less prevalent and cogent, you know, for our society than these, you know, debates over, leftist ideology in America and also, you know, super nationalist conservative ideology. Those are the things that are animating our society now and, you know, tragically leading to acts of violence in our country against people, you know, very, very innocent people of all political stripes.
So I would infer that because really nothing's changed and the country is as likely to be attacked with somebody with a car as it was a year ago or 2 years ago, that it's the ideology and it's that, or at least the radicalization that has decreased. Accurate or not?
Radicalization among people radicalizing to the ideas that fueled Al-Qaeda? Mm-hmm. Yes, I say that has weakened and dissipated. Radicalization to other ideas? I'd say that has increased.
What threat of terrorism keeps you awake at night?
More of the type of thing that we saw yesterday.
Gotcha. Thank you, Professor. I appreciate your time. Pleasure as always. David Chanzer, Professor of Public Policy at Duke University. When we come back, I'm going to spend an hour talking about autism because we've been talking about it with that horrible Vasquez incident and also with vaccines. We'll spend an hour talking about autism.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.